If you're not a visitor and you've been skipping, welcome back. We're glad to have you here too. But before I get going, hey, Gigi, who does everything over here in this church, all the work, not Cunningham, she had a birthday yesterday. So y'all wish Gigi happy birthday. And then real quick, just to catch y'all up, we're in this new series. It's titled Moments, and we're in week number 3, and we've been enjoying all of your posts on Facebook and on Instagram. And Cody told y'all to start sending out some of your moments. It's cool to see you and your family hanging out. It's cool to see you and your kids hanging out and around the fire and in the all the things that y'all got going in the sunsets and everything. It's cool to see. So y'all keep coming with those. And for the next 18 weeks, or I guess a few less now, whatever that is, I'm not very good with my math, but we're going to be going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to be looking at some moments in the Bible, some moments that we can relate to our life. These are going to be a simple series, but it's a very good series. So I just encourage y'all, man, to come up here, dive in with all you've got, take some notes. And if you have to miss, I get it. Check us out online and keep up with what we got going on. But just to get going, everybody sitting in here today knows that in our life, we're going to have good moments, and in our life, we're going to have bad moments. Well, as you read the Word of God, there's some good moments and there's some bad moments. And today, naturally, Cody gave me a bad moment to speak about. So I'm going to do the best that I can do. But man, we're going to talk about a moment in the Bible that wasn't that great of a moment. It actually changed the future of man and woman forever. So if you have your Bible here today, your iPhone or your iPad or however you do it, if you're like Jake Murray and lean over and read your wife's Bible, however you do it, just turn to Genesis chapter 3. We'll do chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and we'll read and see what the Lord says. Hold on, my iPad's jacked. All right, so if you're there, so let's go. All right, Genesis 3. 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Verse 7. "Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife, and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' And the man said, 'No, the woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Thank you for a warm place to come and dive into the Word, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our lives, in mine and Marley's life, God. So I just pray today that you would empower us, break us down, and just let us learn something today, Lord. Give me, anoint this thing, Lord, for me to speak this message of how you want it spoken. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, all right, so Adam and Eve, man, they're enjoying perfect fellowship. They're enjoying everything that Cody talked about last week. They're enjoying the sun that rises and falls, and the stars in the sky and the moon and all these stuff, and the animals in the field, and they have all they can eat. They have all the things that they need. They have all the fresh water that they need. And you know, my favorite part of the whole deal, if I was them, would be that they didn't have any clothes on. They had it going on, you know, but how come all of us in here know that even when our business is doing well, when our business is thriving, our horses are selling high, and the wheat is tall, the cattle are fat, our marriage is great, our kids are growing, our kids are doing great, and all the things are looking good in our life, like we have everything going good for our lives, there's an enemy out there sometimes that we can't see. There's an enemy out there that sometimes we forget about because we have our eyes on everything that's going so well in our life, everything that's looking good to us, and all these things. And sometimes he comes after some of us in our minds. Sometimes he comes to some of us from our past. He comes after us through a little device called the iPhone nowadays. But the bottom line is that my Bible and your Bible tells us that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we got to pay attention to that. We have to pay attention because we don't know where he's going to come and what he's going to try to do, but we know that he's going to come. And since that we're all about families here at Bethel, we're all about godly families, raising up godly kids in the midst of a jacked up world, in the midst of a Holy Spirit-filled church, and we're all about the men leading their families like the Bible tells us to lead our families and all those things that we believe in here, we got to pay attention and we got to remind ourselves that if you don't think that the enemy's going to try to come tear down and destroy godly marriages that are striving to raise godly children up, you need to pay attention and go back to chapter 3 of Genesis, because the very first couple that God ever made together, the very first couple that God put together to raise up children, to do life together, to hang out together, to enjoy life together, they got deceived by the enemy from the get-go. So we got to pay attention. Somebody say, pay attention. Ooh, 9 o'clock was a lot more alive. Y'all kind of got me nervous. So they failed, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to fail sometimes. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm going to fail sometimes. Jerry Rice, no participation. Now look up here. I'll tell you, man, I failed forever. Failed for years. And I just know, man, I know in that moment, I know that guilt, that shame, and the way that they felt when God came looking for them. I know how they felt in that moment. I know that like last year, this month, it was crazy to think about, but last year during this month was when I think I gave our story for the first time, mine and Marley's story, where we met the Lord, like we really met the Lord, where we really hit rock bottom, where we really said, man, here's our mess, here's our life, and where we changed and all these things. And I just want to talk about real quick, you want to talk about some moments. I think about that moment when I had been studying for a year and I'd been putting the old guy off like Ephesians talks about and putting the new guy on. And I'd been getting in my Bible and I'd been praying God to fix our marriage because I was leading my marriage down a long road of craziness and sorriness, and was all about me and nothing about her and nothing about us for sure. And I just remember I was studying and coming up to this point and praying that God would just bring darkness to light in my home and fix our marriage and do all these things. And it took a year of that going and praying and seeking. And I can just remember this moment when it all came to life, when God did bring darkness to light. And I was pulled over in Henrietta, Texas, coming from Gainesville. I can see the curb where I was. There was a business right here. And on the back, off the edge of the back of the car, was a little gas station at a Y right there. I can remember exactly how I felt and exactly the things that I found out when darkness was brought to light on my phone. And I remember thinking I was so mad and I was so hurt and I was so disgusted. But it was the beginning of where God began to show me that I had been deceived by the enemy. Yes, Marley may have messed up a little. Yes, maybe all these things. But he also was telling me, hey, look, it took two of you. You're both in this deal. And right there is when I can remember when he started to show me things that I was being deceived by the enemy. Because, see, some of us men think that by God, and this was me my whole life, I work and I bring the money in and I take care of us and I've got to do my job and that's how we live and I'm this and that and all this stuff. Well, I didn't know, you know, that had overtaken my wife. I didn't know that became more important to me. My work became more important to me than it did leading my family and raising up kids to know Christ and loving on my wife and tending to my wife. I didn't know and didn't realize that in the same roof that I slept under, in the same roof that I ate under, my wife was fighting an enemy that she didn't know how to fight. My wife was fighting an enemy that I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know any of these things that were going on in my own home because I was so consumed with me and so cocky and just worried about my thoughts and my desires. I was the farthest thing from being a man leading his wife in the way that God intended him to do, and I had no clue about all those things. And when I was rereading this last night, the Lord was like, tell them guys tomorrow, cherish your wife. Your new wife right there, cherish her. She's a gift from God. Jerry, cherish her. She's a gift from God. Reggie, Tammy, cherish her. We got to cherish our wives because they're gifts from God. And just like we build relationships with God and we build them with them. How? Well, we get in the Word. We talk to Him daily. We hang out with Him daily. We speak to Him. We pray with Him. We hang out with Him. We spend time with Him. We have to do that with our wives as well. We got to be rubbing their feet at night. We got to be listening when they want to talk about all the silly stuff they want to talk about. We got to be running the bath water for them, making a good bath. Whatever you do in your home, I don't know, but I like to. Anyway. Man, cherish your wife. Cherish your wife because you know what happens when in this world that we live in, the iPhone is where we got in a bind. The iPhone is where we got in a wreck. And all of you young kids that aren't married and going to college, or maybe you're engaged, or maybe you're just starting your dating career, or whatever that looks like, you need to start preparing your mind right now and preparing your mind and paying attention to your phone and how you act on your phone and what you do and say on your phone, because it can come and steal, kill, and destroy everything that you got going on in your life if you're not careful. So we got to have that relationship with our wife so that when a happy birthday text comes along there from somebody who's not married to a married couple, they need to be like, red light, I'm out. I'm out. Because that's how he comes in, right? He comes in like everything's okay. He comes in with a little bit of something, but then it turns into such a big deal that you're so deep and you're so far into it, you don't know how to get out of it. You don't know how to backtrack. Well, if I tell him he'll leave, the kid will be there. It's just a wreck. We got to build good relationships. Cherish your wife. I have notes on here that say stop. Here's a red one. It says stop. That's from Cody.
Dear boy.
We got to learn the word, guys. We got to learn. The first sentence of chapter 3 says plain as day that the serpent is the most crafty of them all. He tells us plain right there that he's the most crafty of them all. So why didn't I pay attention? Well, I can tell you real quickly and real easily. I didn't know the word of God. I didn't know the word of God. I just thought that since me and Marley both, we got saved, we got baptized, we rose. I just thought that since we believed in God that we were just, I guess there was just a shield up between us and the enemy. Wrong. Here's another moment for y'all, man. When I left after the curb and after all the things, I went and got her and all this stuff went to happening, man. I reacted fleshly. I was mad. I was sad. I was scared. I was hurt, all these things and all this stuff. And we separated for a few days, and it was over the weekend. And Monday, I had a lawyer ready. And I already talked to a lawyer and pulled some strings to talk to her on the weekend. I had it ready for Monday. I had it ready to go start this divorce process. I had it ready in the midst of all these things happening in my mind and all these things happening around this child that we had. I had it ready. And while she was over there, she told me that day, she told me that she had had an encounter with Christ. She told me that the Lord came and met her where she was in the middle of that place over there in the bathroom floor, and her tears and her jacked up, messed up hair and the sweats and the throw-ups and the dry heaves and all the things that she felt and all the things that she went through and all the things, you know. And it doesn't just, this is another thing. Your decisions that you make don't just affect you and your family. They affect all of your family. They affect your parents that are sitting right down here today on the front row. They affect a lot of things, and it's hard when we get in this place where we're so far with the enemy that we can't pull ourselves out of this wreck because of the leadership of the home.
You struck.
Talk for it.
Yeah. Where the heck was I? So Marley, she had this encounter with God, right? And I believed her. I wanted to believe her. I could tell over the phone. I could tell in her voice. I could tell the way she was talking. I could tell the way she was saying that she really did. But how many of you know, Cody used to preach about the good dog and the bad dog. Two dogs in your head. Which one are you going to feed? And I can remember that. I remember thinking, man, the good dog, the one that I had been seeking and searching for a year, that I've been praying for him to bring darkness to light, for him to fix my marriage, the good dog, Jesus Christ, the Lord, all the things, was telling me, dude, go, let's go, like, get her, let's go. And the other one was saying, I don't know, better watch out, I don't know, you better back up. And I just decided right there, all my family was there, whatever, and all these things. And I'm not saying that you don't need people around you when you're going through hard things or hard things are happening. I think it's a good thing. They can pray over you, help you, lift you up, love on you, hold you. But sometimes we got to go back and just get with God, the one who created you, the one who created you in his image, the one who created marriage, the one who set you up with your spouse, the one who set you up with your job, the one who set you up with all of your blessings. Sometimes we got to go back to that God.
Yeah.
Without the distractions of others, without the comments of others, without the thoughts of others, without all the things that others are saying or others are doing or what the world's doing or how they're doing their marriage or their divorce or however that looks. Without all that, we got to go back and get with God sometimes.
Yeah.
I had a night horse up that I'd forgot about. I went to the barn and I got away from people. And I got down there in that barn, man, I was tired, I was exhausted, I was wore out, I was sad, I was scared. I was thinking about Hayes, my little boy. And I remember I had this little white bucket that I fed with. I set it up against the wall and just sat down and put my shoulders up against the wood wall of that cool old barn. And in that moment, when I finally got still, God said, Cole, I've forgiven you of everything that you've done away from me. Who are you to throw the stone at Marley?
Go ahead.
That's scripture. He said, I've grown you and prepared you this year for the news that I've told you today, or the days before. He said, go get your wife, forgive her, and I'll use you as a unit of Christ. And look, I didn't know what that meant that day. I didn't know what that meant then. We were just a cow camp family, man. We just tended to cows and rode horses and tended to things, and we were just, by God, cowboys. And I didn't know what that looked like, and I didn't know what that understood, but in my fear and in my exhaustion and in my anger, I just chose to believe it. Just believe what God's telling you. It may not be like a radio. It may not be like yelling at you, but man, just a feeling in your gut, the feeling in your head, whatever you're studying, just believe it.
Yep.
So I went and got her. Man, it was awkward. Her parents had came down there. They took her out to eat. It was awkward. They were there. It was awkward. It was hard. There was a lot of things making me want to back up. How many of you know the enemy's going to fight to the very stinking end? I was there in our car that we paid for, that we bought. I was there with my heart, with my mind, with everything I'd heard from the Lord. And I just remember thinking, I don't know, I don't know, until I just got a hold of her. And she jumped up on me and wrapped her legs around me. And I just knew it was going to be all right. And I knew that her parents were happy. And I knew that all this stuff, I don't know, that's not even in my notes, but I just knew. God worked a miracle that day, and he worked a miracle that night. And I told God that night, man, I said, I'll be obedient for the rest of my life. I'm sorry for living the way that I've lived for so long.
Yeah, bro.
So I'll do whatever you want me to do. And guys, that was 2 years and 55 days ago, if my Guthrie math is correct. And I stand up here, not a perfect man, and I don't know everything in the Bible, and I don't know everything about it, and I don't know anything much about preaching, and I don't know all this stuff, but I know this. My heart is obedient. I want to be obedient to the one who delivered Marley from her wreck, the one who delivered me from my wreck, and the one who changed her heart and changed my mind and changed everything about our life. I want to be obedient to that guy forever. He's doing things. Y'all, he's doing things that we never could imagine, just like the Corinthians talks about, like, you know, we all sit back and we all sit down and we're like, we're going to work here. We're going to live there. We're going to have this many kids. I'm going to marry a blonde. I thought I was going to marry a blonde girl. Hey, I'm going to marry a blonde girl. Like, you have all these plans for your life. But how many of you know, like, I you can fight and fight and fight and try to get those things and get those things and get those things. But if you just surrender, if you'll just say, man, I ain't worried about it. I'm created in God's image. I'm not worried about where we're going to live. I'm not worried about what they think of me. I don't care how good of a cowboy I am. I don't care how good of a welder I am. I'm just going to seek God and be obedient. I'm going to open my Bible in the morning. I'm going to read the Word of God, and I'm just going to be obedient. And he's going to take you places that you've never seen yourself go. And everything that we're living now and everything that we're doing now in our house is nothing that we had imagined. Nothing. If it was how I wanted, we'd be in Arizona, so far away from Bethel Assembly, I'd still be an idiot. Still am an idiot. But for real. And you know, I'm just, and even though, like, skipped a stop right there. and though Marley may have failed, man, she may have fell in one of the enemy's traps, just like I did, just like we all have. This little 100-pound beautiful thing that I'd married and chose that God sent to me, man, she called out to God in distress. She called out to God when she didn't have nothing else. She called out to God when she wasn't seeking God. She called out to God when she hadn't been listening to Christian music. She called out to God when she was angry. She called out to God when the enemy had control over her mind. She called out to God in the middle of all the crap, and the Lord met her right there in that floor, that dadgum bathroom, and she had an encounter with the Lord. So just cry out. Just call out and believe that he's there. Believe the presence is there. The Holy Spirit is here. Man, she's also chose since that day to just be obedient to him since that day. 3 weeks ago, she got up here and led a song, Watch the Enemy Scatter. It just makes me think about all those times, man, when we were going through our crap and it was on the brink of this and that. She would sing that song. She would sing that song over her family, over that cow camp in her car in the shower. She was singing that song. And just like when I was watching her up here a while ago, I just can't believe that she's up here doing that, because she would only sing for one or two of us her whole life. But you know what she wants in her heart? She wants in her heart that somebody would have an encounter with God. She hopes that her gift that she can sing can set up an encounter with God for one of you. Because it really happened to her. She really felt an encounter. She really was this person, and then she now is this person. It can happen to any of you, and it can happen at any time.
Yep.
You got to fight. I just thought about this while we were singing. She's over here singing about, I'm going to tell my kids how faithful God is. However that song goes. And I just thought, that felt like the Lord was saying, you tell them, man, if they ain't got nothing to fight for, fight for your kids. Fight for your kids. She over here about to tear the mic up because she's thinking about the day. We've talked about it all the time. Praise God that one day we're going to be able to tell Hazen Holden, you know what? Your daddy was a dadgum idiot, the dumbest sunbuck you ever met in your life. But then he said, you know what? Ephesians 4, 24 through 23, I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to put on the new man. And I'm going to see God. I'm going to fix my family. And God came and worked. I don't even know where this is coming from.
Ours.
So we'll fail. It's okay. We're all going to fail sometime, somehow, some way. He didn't call us to be perfect. He didn't call us to be perfect. He just called us to be obedient. Obedient soldiers in the kingdom of Christ. Soldiers. Strong. Warriors. Next point. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. And we got to keep going. Well, you say, man, that's easy for you to say, man, they hurt me so bad. She cheated on me. He cheated on me. It's been so long. All the things, whatever it is in your life that you just feel like there's no way out. Marley used to tell me all right after that. We don't talk about it much anymore because it's dead and gone. But right after that, she would just tell me how she felt just stuck there. Look, don't buy the lie of the enemy. You're not stuck there. The Bible says, he says, have peace. I've already overcome the world.
Thank you.
So you're not stuck there. You're stuck there because you haven't cried out to God. You're stuck there because you don't believe that he can actually come and deliver you. So I say to you, if you're stuck there, Matthew 6, 14 through 15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Sometimes that's your wife, sometimes that's your spouse, sometimes that's your friend, your brother, your sister, your family. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we got to forgive. We got to forgive so that he can forgive us.
What?
Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, but plans to give you a future and a hope. We got to believe that. He's got plans for you. You can sit back in your recliner like we did forever and just make these plans, but dude, he's got plans for you. The creator of the world, the one that created all that stuff Cody talked about last week that was so fun, he's got things created for you. He's got things created for me. I don't know about you, but man, if I'm on this earth, I want to tap into every single thing that he has planned for me. I want to tap into it because it's got to be better. I've already lived and learned that it's better than anything I could imagine. If I would have chosen to stay there, if I would have chosen to stay in my unforgiveness and my hard heart and my poor, pitiful me, and we're the only family that ever had marriage problems and we're blah, blah, all that crap, I'd have missed everything. Marley would have missed everything. Hayes would have missed everything. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to your family. Believe the word is true. Don't stay tied to your mess ups. Be forgiven. He'll use you and bless you if you're obedient. But you can't believe the word if you don't know the word. You got to get in the word. 1 Corinthians 2:9, we use it a lot around here. I love it. It's a great verse, man. It's a good one. If you're into tattoos, get it on your arm, your forehead, wherever you want it, get you a tattoo. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eyes seen, no ears heard, no heart of man has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. If you'll just sit this week, two or three times a week this week, and just read that verse, I wonder what God has prepared for you. It says that we can't imagine. The heart of man can't imagine. We can't imagine what he's got prepared. Seriously, like we never imagined that two of us, two jacked up people, like I was a wreck before I met Marley. Wild, stupid, ignorant.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, man. I thought, But I never thought, like, this isn't where we thought we would be. This isn't where we thought God would use us. Well, we weren't worried about where God would use us at that point. But, like, I never thought I would ever be trying to preach the word to others so that they could have an encounter with God. Marley, who would never sing in front of anybody other than my best friend and maybe my parents and her parents, I never thought that she would be up here trying to sing and use the gift that she was given so that somebody maybe going through what she went through and through a song that she's singing could have an encounter with the Lord either. Like, we never saw these things coming. We shouldn't be used. We shouldn't be the ones that are doing it. But by God's grace, he chose us. So we're just trying to be obedient. We just thought that we would be a cow camp family forever. We thought that we would live on their ranch, in their house, use their trucks, ride their horses, do all their things. We just thought that's what we were going to do. And I tell y'all, I'm going to share some moments with y'all, and I'm not sharing them like, hey, look at us. We're awesome. We got it going on and all this stuff because we're not. We're not awesome. We struggle every day. Last night, I wish y'all could have seen her. Last night, she was so mad at me, acting a fool up here. I said, you guys sing tomorrow. Anyway, we're not, we don't have it figured out, but we're both just trying to be obedient. But I'm going to share some moments with y'all in our life just so that you can see that how we believe in the Word, how the Word has became alive in our life, because we've got to walk the Word out simply because we learned the Word, and then now we believe the Word, and then we get to walk the Word out. But when we were living in the world and of the world, and I wasn't leading my family like God tells us to lead our family, we didn't want any more children. Like, I always thought that I'd have two or three little cowboys behind me in the jig line, and I always thought those things, two little boys and all this stuff. But, like, man, the enemy took that from Marley through those years. Like, he had her mind jacked up. You're messed up. You screwed up. You didn't do no good. You ain't no good. You're not a good mother. He gets so mad when Hay starts crying. You can't get a ball ready. You can't do this. All these things the enemy tried to tell Marley and put her in this place where she didn't want any more kids. She didn't feel worthy to have any more kids. Well, let me tell you something else. Another moment when we both surrendered, when we both came back together, God gave her a new heart. He gave her motherhood a new heart. He gave her a new soul. And by God, we have little Alden, who's 1 year old now, and everybody loves him, and he's a joy to our life and a joy to everybody he encounters, and he sleeps good, and he eats good, and he's easy, and he's good-looking like his dad, and it's just a blessing. But I just wonder if we never did surrender, if we never did give ourselves up, if I never would have gave up my cowboy dream, if I never would have done all this crap, would we have missed Alden, a live baby, a human that we love, a human that just wants you to hold him in the morning while you drink your coffee and watch his little cartoon? Would we have missed those things? What are you missing? We've got to believe the Word. We've got to read the Word to know the Word. Psalms 37:4 is another one that we live on in our house, and another one that we've got to live out. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What do you desire? You know, I try to ride in the spiral every morning. This morning I wrote, Lord, your Word says that you give us the desires of our heart. Mine and Marley's heart are to help people in the church. Our desire is to be a good preacher. Our desire is to sing and do well. I wrote that down. I said, Lord, you know that Marley wants to sing good. You know that she wants to spark an encounter with somebody in the church. You know that I want to preach it. You know that I don't want to get nervous. You know that I don't want to do this. You know, God. So I said, here they are. And I wrote them down, and I just prayed that over us this morning. He knows the desires of your heart, and it says that He'll give you those. Another thing that we could never imagine and that we never saw coming is we've always wanted to own our own place. And man, there was no way. Like, we had on the cow camp deal, like you don't make a whole lot of money, and we didn't have a whole big old savings, and like there was no way. And Cody was like, hey guys, think y'all need to start praying about moving over here and helping in the church, serving in the church and buying you a place. And I immediately remember I said, I ain't no daggum way. There's no way. I don't have enough savings. I don't have enough down payment. The loan that they give you is only this much. It won't even do nothing in the country. It might get something in the house. I'm not living in town. And you know what Cody said? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's no way it's gonna happen. There's no way he's gonna fix your jacked up self. There's no way he's gonna fix your marriage. No way he's going to make Marley new. No way he's going to make Holden come. There's no way. Yeah, let's just forget it and go on. And he said, just take your hands off of it. Back up and pray about it. The Lord knows the desires of your heart. The Lord knows that you want to come over here and preach the Word. The Lord knows that you want to serve God. The Lord knows that you're made new. Just back up. Take your hands off of it. And thank God, because I'm not very patient. It didn't take very long. Boom, Lord worked. We got us a place over here. And today, we sleep under our house on our place, and it ain't nothing big, ain't nothing fancy. It's a little bitty old two-room house. And when we think we're finally away from the kids, guess what? You ain't away from the kids. There's one little old wall right there that separates us, and there's one of them knocking on it, another one talking. But we love it. We love it, and we're thankful for it. One more quick story to back these verses up our whole life. You know, we've been married. I worked for these big ranches, and they're like, each camp I had was like 45 to 50,000 acres, and it'll run like 1,000 to 1,200 cows usually in this country. And anyway, they give you eight horses or 12 horses, like just somewhere in there. And if you really care about it, you really want to do well, and you want your camp to do good, you work your butt off. It's a lot. They give you a ranch to tend to that you don't own. And you work your butt off, and it's not for much pay, and it's not for much benefits. And I just remember I would get so aggravated, and I would make nice fences and build nice fences on their place, and I would do this and weld this and fix the overheads and make the load out and all these things. And I would come home with this attitude. I just wish that guy would call. I just wish that guy would call. And Marty said, what guy?
Hey, you start saying something so long and wanting something so long, the Lord says that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, he ain't going to give them to you surrender until you become obedient. But by God, if you say it long enough and you want it long enough, God will work. Because I said, I'm just waiting. She said, what guy? I said, I'm just waiting on that guy to call me and say, I got 500 cows. I feed your horses, give you beef and insurance, and you tend to it how you want to tend to it. I don't want to worry about it. And God sent the guy back here on the camera, Wesley Jackson. Little angel. Little pretty angel. Wesley's the manager out here. Smith's bought the old Swenson Ranch. It's 15 miles from my house. And when we left Seymour, I was so worried to leave our little nest. Marley and I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. Thinking about leaving our camp life. Worried about taking Hayes away from the cowboy life that he loved. Worried about everything that we knew. Worried. The Bible says, do not worry, for it only causes harm. Easier to say it than it is to walk it out. But men, we were finally like, look, we're going. We're just going to jump into it. We're going to believe in it. We're going to go. We know that we're called. We're going to go. We're going to go dive into it. We don't care what's going to happen. We're just going to go. And guess what? The desires of our heart were to still be able to punch cows, raise hayes up around men that will wake up early, drink coffee, and punch cows all day, and get to ride his horse, and be around good men, and be around good kids, and all those things. And God prepared a way through the Swensons. Romans 8:28, all things work for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Man, he's going to work it out. Don't be worrying about it. Believe it. Believe the word. But you can't believe the word if you don't ever get in the word. Coming up here on Sunday is not enough. Hearing about our story is not enough. Build your own relationship with him. Build it. In closing, I'll just say, you know, I just feel like a lot of people are like, well, that's great. That's great that your life got fixed. That's great. And I don't think that. Like, we're still jacked up. We still struggle. We still have arguments. We still have all these things, but we come at it with different hearts and different minds because we've been made new. But I would just say to you, man, if you're struggling, if your marriage is struggling, if you are just to you that haven't been married and going to get married one day, remember this stuff. You got to surrender. You got to surrender to get all these things. You got to surrender to tap into everything that he says that he'll give you. And I'm not just saying, walking up to your wife and saying, babe, I'm going to change. I promise I'm going to change. I've done that a lot. She's like, yeah. Heard that before. Don't tell nobody. Just tell God. Just tell God, like I told him out there in the middle of the pasture, I'm sick of this. I'm so sorry. I'm going to change today. It was in February of 2022. I said, I'm going to put that old man off. I'm going to put that new man on. And if you'd just help me through this thing and fix my marriage, God, I will try to do everything I can do. And I just quit living that way. I made my mind up. And people tried to pull me over here to come back over here and get drunk all night at the barn or come over here to this horse trade and stay all night after we got the horse trade done. No, I said, no, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to my wife. I'm going to go hang out with my family. I'm going to go live the way that I know that I'm supposed to live and do the things that I'm supposed to do. Don't let nobody take you back to where you used to be. Don't let them take you back to who you were. And don't let them, I don't care what they say about you. I don't care what they comment about you. I don't care what anybody says. The Lord makes you new when you decide to surrender. And when you do surrender all that, when you do say, God, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of trying to be this awesome dude, this awesome guy in this world. He gives you a new slate and says, look, buddy, you're clean. You're forgiven. You get to start again. So then you got to work your butt off to keep that slate clean. Then you got to work your butt off to keep your mind clean. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to wake up every day. I'm going to renew my mind today. I'm not going to think about what I used to think about. I'm not going to look at what I used to look at. I'm not going to listen to the music I used to listen to. That's another thing. Whatever you listen into your ears, whatever comes into your ears all the time is going to be into your heart. If you're listening to you kids, listening to all that junk, all that crap, all that stuff all the time, that's going to be on your mind all the time. That's what you're going to be looking at on your phone. That's what you're going to be talking about at school. That's what you're going to be doing all the time. Got to renew our mind, and then when we surrender, your slate's clean. You get a new start. The second thing, man, let go of unforgiveness. Let go of it. It's not hurting that person you're not forgiving. It's not hurting the thing that you're not forgiving or whatever it is in your life. No, it's only hurting yourself. It's only hurting you. It's hurting your families. It's hurting your kids. Just let go of it. When you let go of it, God will make things new.
Yeah.
Let go of it. He don't want you to carry it. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose. Let him carry it. He makes all things new. Third thing, go back to what's important. It's not your image. It's not your jacked up past. It's not your job. It's not your ego. Go back to what's important, man, for me. Connor, if you'll come, I'll start trying to wrap it up.
I forgot to stop right there.
What's important to your life? What's important to you? For me, it was God. I realized that I didn't put God first. I realized that I got a little bit uppity in my talent. I got a little bit about where I wanted to go, where I wanted to work. And man, I just thought that Marley was supposed to come and do everything that I wanted her to do. I just said, my God, you're just going to get over it. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. If you don't like it, leave. That makes room. That makes separation from you and your wife. That makes separation between us. That made when the enemy came, it made just room for jacked up, messed up mess. I had to go back to God. I had to put God first. I had to seek God.
Yeah.
I had to get in my Bible and learn stuff about the Bible, learn the scripture that I could fight the enemy with. When Jesus was tempted by the enemy, he fought him with the word. Then I had to go back to Marley. And even though we were married for 6 years, I had to begin to learn her. I had to begin to learn who she was. That's terrible. I know, but it's truth. And then the studying that I was doing and the things that I was learning in my word and the things I was listening to on my phone and the podcasts and all the YouTubes and all the Cody's preaching and all the Carter's preaching and all the things that I listen to and bring into my mind and my heart and my eyes on a daily basis, I had to begin to teach her and lead her with those things. You're supposed to lead your wives, man. And it ain't just waking up, going to work, coming to bed, waking up, going to work, coming to bed, waking up, going to work, coming to bed. That is not leading your wife. And then I had to learn to listen to her and all the stuff she wants to talk about. Hayes did this today. I know you sent me a Snapchat. I saw it. Hold it. I know I saw that too. You got to just listen, man. Just listen and grow them. It's your job to grow your wife. Cody says all the time, whatever she is what you've made her. A lot of it. And now, dude, like I said, we're not perfect. We're not having it figured out. We're not always doing the right, doing great, but we're just trying to be obedient, but not obedient to the people in the world, not obedient to the world like I was living before, not like that. And I'm not saying you need to respect your bosses. You need to respect your people. You need to do all those things. Yes, but I'm saying, but you need to be obedient to the Lord. He needs to come first. It doesn't matter. You know, the Bible says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. We're just trying to be obedient. We're trying to be obedient to the one who delivered us from our sins, delivered us from our wreck. You know, we used to drive before we moved over here. It was an hour and 20 minutes we would drive. We learned and understood that the importance of church. We would drive an hour, 25, 30 minutes one way every week from Seymour. On Sundays and on Wednesdays, because we knew it was important to stay in church, a good church, stay in the Word, stay around godly men and women. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So if y'all would just close your eyes and bow your heads, and if y'all would kill those lights. My question for you today is, and I don't be distracted right here. Like just let yesterday go, let tomorrow go. You just think about you today. Just think about yourself today. Where are you? Which one of these people are you? Are you set free? Have you forgave? Are you forgiven? If so, praise the Lord, man. You got a clean slate. Keep it clean. Work. Study. But just like I said at the beginning of this thing, when we think we got it all going on, when we think everything's going great, and our marriage is great, and all this stuff's going great, that's when the enemy wants to come in. He doesn't want marriages to raise up godly children. He doesn't want marriages to flourish. He doesn't want marriages to be everything that God created marriages to be. He doesn't want that. So pay attention. Keep your head on a swivel. Keep your feet moving. Stay in your word. Pray over your family. Lord, protect my family. Put a hedge of protection around them, around my boys, around my family, around my kids. Pray over them. Pray. He hears your prayers. Paul says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Or maybe here today, man, maybe you're here this morning and you're carrying the hurt, the conviction that Adam and Eve felt when they were hiding in the garden. The hurt, the conviction, and the sadness that Marley and I felt. If this is you, listen, when Marley and I confessed our sins to each other, when Marley and I laid it all out on the table together, Marley and I laid it all down in line to the Lord and surrendered everything to the Lord, there was immediate freedom. It was something that I can't explain. It was just like weight lifted off of our shoulders. It was like weight lifted off of hers. The table was set for repair and growth. Most importantly, there was room and new ground for God to work. God makes it all new things. And with all that being said, I just want to say, you know, I want to remind you, we don't have church to call out, point fingers at failures of people. We all fail. We all get deceived. The Bible just told us in Genesis 3, he's the craftiest of all, the serpent. He's crafty. We've got to pay attention, but we all fail. We're not here to point fingers. We're not here to this or that. No, we have church so that we can bring our families to grow and learn the Word of God and get our kids raised up in the Word and all these things. But we also have it so that the hurting people and the tired people and the beat up people and the people that have failed and the people that are going through the heck can come to a safe place and lay it down and be made new, and be restored, and be forgiven. Get a new slate. Come in one way, go out another. So if God's speaking to you this morning, maybe you're tired, maybe you are wore out, maybe from guilt, maybe from shame, maybe from unforgiveness. You're sick of all of it. You're ready for a new life, ready for a little relief. You're ready to chase what God's plans for your life. Those things that you can't see, those things that he has for you that you don't have planned, but he's got planned. What he talked about the other day, nothing good happens in the dark, man. If you just got something hiding, if it's wearing you out, been wearing you out, there's freedom in letting it go. Run to the light, like he talked about last week. Run to the light. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. All heads down and the lights down. Man, today's your day to get free. Today's the day to clean your slate. If you're in here today and you're tired of it, wore out, ready for relief, you want God to come and make a change in your life, if that's you, just slip your hand up real quick. I'm going to pray for you. Praise the Lord.
Peace.
All right, y'all can throw them down.
Yes.
Lord, you see your people. You know their hearts. You know what they're fighting. You know what they fought. You know what they're going through. God, I know your goodness, and I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for working in mine and Barney's life. I thank you for new hearts and new minds in our home, God. But God, please just do it again. Do it again today. Meet your people that are standing here, Lord, or sitting here, God, raising their hands, Lord. Meet them here, grow them, love them, hold them, change them. Give them new hearts, Lord, new minds. Surround their families, God, with protection, a hedge of protection. Surround their kids, surround their minds, God. Light hot fires, Lord, a lot hot fires in these marriages in here, God. Change the game for them. Let it be new. Let it be different. Put each other first. Serve each other. Strike some obedience, God, in the men in here to be leaders of their home and not just working men, but, Lord, men that will listen, men that will pray, men that will hold, men that will teach, men that will take them to church when they don't want to go to church, men that will love on their wives, spend time with their wives, protect their wives. Change the future, Lord, of your people. Give them relief. In Jesus' name, amen.